from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Let's just be honest. I got all the love and respect for my guy or whatever, and we showed that love and respect, but nobody was really tripping off Harrison Barnes.
Oh yeah, understood.
So you can. It wasn't as drastic as they were playing 4-on-5 on offense. I don't want to say that.
No, yeah.
It wasn't that.
But
drastic.
But still, your coach, but, right? You know, hey, we'll give those up. He's got to make a couple of those to beat us.
What you giving up now?
Yeah. No, if that's the trade off, okay. Because he's gonna make 8 out of 10 from the mid range. That's a layup. That is true.
You sag off Monk or like say you sag off DeRozan because he can't shoot the three.
Yeah,
DeMar either gonna catch that ball
on
the move. Mm-hmm. Once he catches that, that swing pass on the move and get to the cup and he draws fouls and gets to the line.
Yeah,
or he's just gonna stop, pull up at that 15-foot mark and cash out.
And you did say because for some reason since Fox wasn't getting calls, now maybe if DeRozan gets those early, now Fox may get whatever 3 or 4. Those are free throws for him for some reason that he didn't get last year, but which I do think we do know to help, right? You get your free throw attempts up, that'll help overall. Absolutely. Then I also like the fact, bro, of having 2, maybe 3 closing guards that one of those three can make a shot. Mm-hmm. I love that idea.
I love that. And really, at the end of the day, because we talk, I'll ask you a question real quick. You're listening to ESPN 1320 KIFM West Sacramento and Odyssey Station. D-Lo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Shout out to my people over there. We got my man, Coach JT,
yes, sir.
94 Feet Podcast, hanging out with me today for a little bit. And I'll ask you this question. All the concerns that we have for, the spacing and all this other stuff. Malik Monk, he's going to be in there in the closing lineup, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Should he be there in the starting lineup?
I guess money-wise, yes, but coaching-wise and what you need, you're going to be my highest paid sixth man of the year. Just the fact of how the flow, watching Keon Ellis last night, okay, I see a little more confidence in the young fella. I see him more role-wise, but a bench is important. Mm-hmm. A bench is important, especially when you have somebody explosive as that going on. It's not about always who start, who finish. I understand that's the cliche of it, but also what do we have off the bench numbers-wise offensively if he starts? That's proven, I guess, right now. Right now, he's stamped as a proven scorer off the bench. Who else does Kings have who can give us something off the bench?
I mean, you would have Keon if he was coming off the bench. I think he'd give you, 6-7 points a game. It's still yet to be determined what's going on with Kevin Huerter. You know what I mean? If he's going to be around or whatever the case may be. But, the bench scoring, I think as a collective between Trey Lyles, and I'm just saying Malik Monk is the starter. Trey Lyles, Keon Ellis, and Kevin Huerter.
Not enough. I'm watching last season when it was Monk, Lyles, and Davion. It was maybe 2 out of 3. They all were not consistent enough, especially that last home stretch. I'm like, you take a
Monk went there.
No, before Monk got hurt, he still because he had a couple.
Fine. They was like fifth in the Western Conference.
But he had a couple games where Monk didn't. He have a good one. Then it dropped way. It wasn't consistent
for sure. But when Malik Monk was there, they were a verified top 16.
So then out of that, so now you're removing that. What do you have off the bench?
You got, like I said, you got Keon, you got Huerter, you've got Trey Lyles in there. That's going to combine for probably about 15, 15 to 20 points coming off the bench.
But that's different when you got Monk coming off. He give you 25 piece with a Devion with 9 pieces. I mean, that's okay with 7. That's lower, 15 to 16. But Devion gave you 7 or 8. Lyles gave you 7 to 8. That's a bigger. That's a number I think we need in the West as far as the tempo and offensive firepower. You got to have that.
But you're going from a combined 22 points in the starting lineup to. With Herter and Barnes, mm-hmm. you're going from 22 points in the starting lineup to probably 35 points in the starting lineup.
With two players?
With Monk and DeRozan if they're playing.
Like I said, it's going to be – I'm trying to see that.
Last year, with Herter doing what he did or not doing what he did, right. and Harrison Barnes not doing what he did, yes, you need Malik's 15 off the bench. If you have a starting lineup with DeRozan – and Malik Monk in there, and like I said, the combined when I come up with that number, I'm talking about the combined
right.
point total of Harrison Barnes and Kevin Herter was probably around 22 points for those two. Now you bring DeRozan and Malik Monk in there, and we'll say DeRozan gets 20. We'll say Malik gets 15. You've added 15. You've went plus 15 to your starting lineup.
So it's just the fact of how you rotating the players in and out at that point.
That's right. Really what it comes down to. And to me, I don't want to say it don't matter, but. Malik gonna be closing.
No, yeah, but it's like at all times. Closing. Three of those guys got to be on the court at the same time, right? You got to or two of those, two at least two, right? Two,
at least two of them at all times.
You space it out, right? In the quarter timeouts, all that because there is a lot of offensive firepower, but you want to maximize that continuously to be consistent with it. Like yeah. it don't, you know, what I mean, they got potential to score a lot of buckets, but then it's only one basketball at the end of the day, still too.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with Keon starting. I love Keon's game. I love how he's developed and improved. It seems like every time I see him, he gets better. So something.
Who's guarding the best player if he doesn't start? The best guard, I'll say, if Keon don't start. Who do we pick?
Probably De'Aaron.
I don't like that.
this is the study that I wanted to go down. Okay. Right. So everybody talks about, the Kings defense, and they didn't do anything to address their defense or whatever the case may be. Number one, they've got two all NBA defensive caliber players on their starting
line. Who's that?
Fox and Murray. They are all defensive caliber players.
Okay.
So you've got that. You got that already. People just kind of dismiss that and act like that's not even there. But you've got that already. Mm-hmm. Let's go with the idea of Malik Monk starting, just for argument's sake. You got Malik, maybe DeRozan, maybe they're go, you know, if they're going up against Dallas, we'll start with Dallas. You probably will go with De'Aaron on Kyrie. And that's been the matchup for the last couple of years.
Okay.
De'Aaron's done perfectly fine with that. You got to be careful with fouls and stuff like that. But at that point.
Who guarding Klay?
Whoever. Klay ain't doing nothing. What's Klay doing?
I'm just saying, you know, he got something to prove right now, so I'm pretty sure it'll be different.
Monk will guard him. What is Klay going to do?
Best shooter ever.
I ain't even saying it like he's not nice or nothing like that. I think he averaged 17 points a game or something like that last year.
Yeah.
But it's not like he ain't going to – first of all, he's not going to get the ball enough to just destroy you and make your life a living hell. Second of all, he's a perimeter shooter at this point. That's all you got to do is try to work off screens. He's not a creator at this point.
So who's running off those screens, though? I'm saying defensively. Who's going to do that? Like Keon does that. Even last night in the summer league game, I'm like, this dude is everywhere.
Keon does that as good as anybody. And that's fine. But this goes to my point. Keon probably isn't going to be there at the end of the game. So, like, we can have a discussion and worry about who's starting.
Yeah.
But in the last 5 minutes,
so why not,
Malik
then?
Is going to have to be there.
Up to, at home.
Who's coming out?
I don't know, but you need to put your best defender. Know? I'm still saying it's got to be. I mean, it depends.
Are you taking Malik out?
It could be, yeah, because he's not a great defender. He's not.
If the guy's got, you talked about him off the bench. If he came off the bench and got 25, and there's 5 minutes left, he ain't coming out.
His job's to score, though.
He ain't come. If he got 25, and it's a tie game with 5 minutes to go, you taking him out?
I got to get that last possession.
Hell no.
Does he rebound? Does he rebound the ball?
I ain't talking about the last possession. I'm talking about 5 minutes left in the game.
Hey,
sure,
man.
If you up one with 7 seconds to go, yeah, you can take Monk out at that point and put defense, offense, whatever the case may be. Sure.
So what was
5 minutes to go? And Malik got 25. You ain't taking him out.
Who did that? Oh my God! I actually saw it in an NBA game, like offense, defense, possessions, late game, defense to offense, like that. Like that is a real thing. They still do it. It don't get as much like attention, I guess, because of baseball. But to win games, you need adequate defenders. Malik don't. He don't guard like that.
I understand Keon's situation. All the angst that everybody had, you can't lose Malik. You can't lose Malik. You can't lose Malik.
Right.
There's no way in a 2-point game with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, he's not on the court.
Yeah. Hey.
And then, like I said, if he's got 25 at the time, you taking him out for defense?
Yeah.
No. The finishing five, and this is the way it should be, really. This is how you've constructed the team. The finishing five is Fox, Monk, DeRozan, Keegan, and Sabonis. That's the finishing five. If you need a stop on the defensive end, you'll go to De'Aaron Fox. He'll guard that guy. And that's what we've been talking about for I don't know how long, is why we think De'Aaron is so special, because he is a true two-way player. He can defend. You don't – in those moments, maybe he doesn't match up with the guy the whole time, but in winning time, he can go guard the best guard on the other team.
Like, I even like late game for another guard. Like, I see in chat somebody put DeRozan on the three guard, four possession or two. Like, I like that bigger size, physicality, can bump off guys. But like I said, just Monk doesn't appeal to me late to, yes, finishing, I guess, overall. But to get stops, though, I don't rely on – his name don't pop up like that. His name don't – about, because as you realize, you got to get stops to win games, man. Like,
you got to score points to win games. Let's never forget that.
But also,
the name of the game isn't how many stops you get; it's how many points.
But that's why we bought DeRozan in too. Because if it wasn't about offense, right? We bought another offensive player in. He can get buckets too.
He can get buckets too. You didn't bring in DeRozan to bench Monk late in games.
Hey man, we gonna see, man.
Make Keon. Some decisions. I like Keon a lot, man. I ain't got nothing. You ain't never gonna catch me here saying something bad about Keon. Because I like Keon. Keon, and I like what he brings. We talked about it before the break. I think Keon brings potential all defense capability. I think he has that type of capability with what he can do on the defensive end. So it's not a knock on Keon. It's just really a numbers game. Malik Monk is finishing them games. And think about all these not saying that you had a defender like Keon Ellis out there, but look back to those games at the end of the first round series against the Warriors. It was Malik. Malik was out there.
I think maybe
game two, Davion finished. I think that was more fun.
And I guess that's based off clock and score, I guess, in my perspective. So, yes, if they're cooking with that finish line, they're up a little bit comfortably, you don't got to go.
Well, no, look, to your point, if the Kings are up by two with 15 seconds to go, the other team didn't call a timeout. Yes, you're subbing Malik Monk out and put Keon Ellis in there for that final possession to get your best defensive group out there. No doubt about it. Absolutely no doubt. But what I'm saying is 3-4 minutes left in the game. Malik,
you
got to
execute
that game.
Get some buckets, find a mismatch. You got to have your other guy out there for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
What I want to know is why you hate Domantas Sabonis.
I don't hate Sabonis, man. I'm just in the thing right now. Like, I've been watching the spacing in the NBA, man. It's so dope to see the game played in more space. But to me, he just clogs it up for us when we got guys that get downhill. Like, I've seen those guys take tough shots because he's right there. One guy's guarding him and halfway in the lane. They're not really guarding him to shoot a shot. They're not really, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I would like to see somebody space the floor spacing, though, for me, because I think that's how we can get more buckets, especially with DeMar. Think about if we go 4-out-1-in with DeMar in the high post.
Now we're going to switch sides a little bit, because, and you would know this as a coach, Coach JT isn't just a moniker. He is a coach. Get it right. You know, he's at the wrong school. It's all love for the K-House. When does defense end?
And
when does a defensive possession end?
After you get the rebound.
Who is the best in the league at getting the rebound?
Sabonis would be.
All right now.
Why is that, though?
Because he's the best rebounder in the game.
Because he's under the basket.
Defense and offense. He's the best rebounder in the game.
Because in the basket on an offensive end, because also think about how many, I guess this kind of goes both ways, because you're missing shots. Yes, he's in position. However, if we got downhill more like I think we could, them still might be layups and fouls for us. But yes, because he's there, he cleans up the boards well.
He can
walk in double-double.
On both sides.
True.
You need him. And one of the issues, you talk about OKC, one of the issues with OKC is they may have tried to address that, fix that with Hartenstein, but they couldn't get a rebound.
Yeah.
You could have the Lou Dorts and the SGAs who do all this great perimeter defense all you want.
Got to finish
the
play.
When the shot goes up, you got to be able to secure that rebound, and that's where 100%. Sabonis' job comes into play. So
100%.
I think Sabonis is just fine.
Yeah.
I think he's just
fine. I think it will be, like any new player of that caliber to any team, it'll be an adjustment period for sure. I just hope the West is so crazy we don't take them like early losses to where we're trying to figure it out and we got Darius about a hole. I want to win while we're doing it and still get used to, you know, how they play together. I don't want to take tough losses early on because every win gonna count.
I said it yesterday. Once again, let me get up here, man. I'm standing on business when I say it, man. I'm standing on business when I say it. I'll say it again. The floor for this team is 52 wins.
52?
52 wins.
Stamp
That's
it.
That's the floor.
The floor.
I'm standing on this business, man. I want to know what you think about that, man. We can talk about that a little bit more when we come back. I got my guy.
Yes, sir.
My guy, Coach JT, 94 Feet Podcast. He's here on D-Lo and KC today. Also, I want to make sure you don't leave without us talking about Jaylen Brown and Team USA and everything that's going there, man. I got to get
your
thoughts on that, man. So we got a whole lot to talk about. It's D-Lo and KC.
Yes, sir.
It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yes, sir. D-Lo and KC, a.k.a. this week, KC and Friends, is my man Damian, is out on a much-deserved vacation. I think we were talking about he had the straw and the pineapple.
Must
and was sitting
nice.
Straight out of the pineapple today, you know what I'm saying? Some remote island somewhere. You know how he gets down, man. You know what it is, man. But, yeah, JT
That's
Roberts.
Dope.
Coach JT, 94 Feet Podcast. He's rocking with me today, man.
Sure.
Before we get back to the Kings, we was in the Matthews Mattress Chatty House.
Hey.
And somebody, we were talking about, you know, if you're watching on YouTube, you see Coach JT with the fresh braids. The line is fresh. You know, the taper's fresh. Everything fresh right now. And you know, somebody was saying, KC, you know, you got to get that Beijing. And I said, I've never gotten Beijing before. I'm not opposed to it. If I have a special occasion that I go to and, you know, I want to go get lined up and look fresh, sure, you know, spray a little something on there. I've never gotten it, though.
But
I didn't even get it for my wedding. I probably should have got it that day.
Kenny and I are 80s babies to the heart. So if it didn't look correct, he'd know we would let him have it. It's no, it'd be rapid fire. We would let him have it. So we grew up in that generation where that's what we did. So he knows
all
that.
Day long.
Proceed with caution.
All day long. But, you know, I'll take a couple, you know, risks. I don't even think the Beijing is a risk. If somebody has applied it a bunch of times, they know what they're doing. They'll make sure I look good.
That's what's
up. You know
up.
What I'm saying? That makes sure I look fresh.
But. Yes, sir.
You know, one of the things that we talked about as and you know, I got a text where it's like, yo, you and Coach JT, y'all going at it. I was like, man, this, we talking who? This what we do. This what we've been doing for 20 plus years.
You should have seen
us
on the court, though.
Yeah, this what we've been doing.
Yeah.
And we having the conversations, and it's all good. But one of the things that I wanna reiterate is, and I said it during the break, and I want to say it during the air. When we talk about, you know, making this move with the game on the line, or making this move with 2-3 minutes to go and subbing this guy in, and these are the things you have to think about. It's not, no shade to anybody, but it's not the same as, you know, having this conversation behind a microphone, having this conversation on Twitter, having this conversation in the chat. Coach JT, he really lives it. He really has to make those split second decisions and formulate all these thoughts in his mind on the fly and make those decisions. So when you talk about, hey, this is what you got to think about when, you know, this situation is going on, or this run is happening, or this is what it feels like your team needs, that's because you really live it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? So like when you, I just want to reiterate.
And it's the passion too though, right? Still want to be a competitor, but you're also passionate about it. That to get that dub ultimately is the goal, and sometimes it may be the wrong one. However, but when it work out, yeah. But you gotta be able to take that when it don't work out too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and everybody learn from it. You know what I'm saying? Or remember that situation. And even when you say learn from it, it doesn't mean you definitely gonna do something different the next time. Be like, it didn't work. Maybe this is why it didn't work. But you know, a week later, you know, you're in the same situation. Like, I feel like this outcome will be different if I, you know, sub this guy in here.
Question for Coach Kenny now. Yes, Coach Kenny.
And don't get it twisted, you know, for all those, Coach Kenny out there, you know what I'm saying? The kids, you know what I'm saying? You said 18 years, right?
Yep.
I think I got like 13 years on me, you know what I mean? But yeah, Coach Kenny out here too.
Hey, up 3, under 10 seconds to go on the clock. You foul, you're up 3. Do you foul or do you play that one out?
So here's the thing.
That's a good
one. The smart basketball move would be the foul, right?
Okay,
it'll be the foul, and I don't know. I kind of feel like it depends on the game, right? If this was for the state championship, I'd probably foul. If this was game 15 of the season, I'd probably let it play off for two reasons. Number one, as an observer, and you can't worry about this as a coach. I'm just telling you everything that I think about in this situation. Mm-hmm. As an observer, I want to see the theater. I want to see the drama of the game.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? I want to see the drama of the game.
I got you.
Let's see if you can get a stop. Let's see, you know, with the game on the line, if this guy can hit a three or something like that.
Yeah.
Like that's the theater of the game. I'm a fan of that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's why I see when I'm watching the game, I always hope they don't foul because I want the drama. I want to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
But
I asked for Coach Kenny though.
Honestly, to be honest with you though, I do feel like it depends on the game.
Okay.
If it's the state championship game, I'm going to foul because I need to secure this win by any means necessary. The only thing that matters is the wins. If it's game 15, I may say, hey, you guys got to learn how to have a good defensive possession to close a game with contesting, with getting a stop, without fouling.
So my thing is though, how do you teach that unless it's in game right there? So game 15, my thinking is teach it right then, because you may not have that happen until a state championship.
And teach what?
When to foul. You teach it in the moment right there. Practice is not good enough for these kids. That ain't gonna work. In game moment, you teach it then. Come state championship, coach, are we fouling? They on the same page.
More times than not. I mean, to me, the fouling situation, it's pretty simple, and I understand what you're saying. You want a game situation. Mm-hmm. I think you can teach that. There's certain trigger points, I think, in those situations where, you know, when a foul, like for instance, if the guy catches the ball and his back is to the basket, just foul him right then and there. You know what I mean? If they're coming at you full speed, you might want to just contest because you don't want to get them fouling in the act of shooting. If their shoulders are squared towards the basket,
that's a lot. Yeah.
If you can see both of his shoulders squared to the basket, you probably don't want to foul. If he's got one shoulder pointing the other way, at the very least, that's when you want to foul. in that situation.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm a believer almost in the Phil Jackson school of coaching. Like you mm-hmm. gotta, I can't save you all the time. I can't save you all the time with a timeout or setting things up. You guys have to be comfortable with making decisions on your own as a group, as a unit, getting stops, knowing what to do. So sometimes in game 15, that's kind of what I'm thinking about in game 15. I'm going to let you play.
For sure.
I'm going to let you play it out and learn what you should and should not be doing in that situation.
Right.
So by the time we get to – and it may not be – as simple as a 3-point game, right? It mm-hmm. may be a 2-point game, and I need you to defend.
To get a stop without
I need you
fouling.
To defend with for 10 sure. seconds left. You've done that a number of different times.
Gotcha.
And we know how to do that. So
understood.
That's my
gotcha,
mindset.
Gotcha, for sure.
The percentages definitely say the foul.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Every time I see that, the percentages say the foul, and that's probably the way to go about it.
For sure.
Before the break,
yeah,
I said I was standing on business, and this isn't going to change anytime soon. I think the floor for the Kings 52. Now with DeMar DeRozan is 52 wins. I'll give you a little background as to why I feel that way. And I'm also assuming health, right? I'm assuming health.
Always a factor.
Yeah. So when they, 2 years ago, when they had great health, nobody really got hurt. Kevin Herter, Harrison Barnes, things of that nature.
Yep.
And won 48 games. And everything was great. This past year, they had some injuries concerns. It wasn't like they got decimated by injuries.
And they
had some injury issues.
Finish what?
They got 46 wins this year, this past year.
Down two. So two guys out.
So once again, I'm going to assume health. And if they're healthy, DeMar DeRozan adds 3 to 4 games to their
rental. I definitely agree with that.
That's where I come to.
I agree with that.
But look, some people would say that 48 was their ceiling that year. I don't. Mm. I think it's about where they were. Like, I think their ceiling was. I mean, we nitpicking here. Their ceiling was probably because remember they didn't even play the last three games of the season, so they easily could have been 50, 51 win team.
It could have been 52 that year too, though.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, and they started off 0-4 that year.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of factors where they could have been a 51, 52 win game team that year. And once again, still people would say that's probably their ceiling. I think this Kings team, as is, sits somewhere between 52 and 56 wins. I think their ceiling is probably about 56.
Where does that get us in the West, too? That's the crazy part.
Last year, I think the one seed was 57. I think
the OKC, one seed was 57?
Yeah, I think OKC was 57 last year.
Oh,
I'll double check that.
So, like you said, we're not too far off.
No, I think...
Barring, you know, health reasons and...
I think they're a top.
Somebody said.
I think they're a top 5 team.
Drew Down said. Tone said 60 wins. Whew.
Tone did say 60. Tone was in his bag.
Yeah,
yesterday.
Don't get.
My boy Tone was in his bag yesterday. He was talking that talk. Don't mess with Tone, boy.
60.
Don't mess with Sacramento and don't mess with my boy Tone.
60. It's gonna be a party.
So last year OKC won 57. Denver won 57. Minnesota won 54. Minnesota won 56. The Clippers at the 4 seed won 51.
And that's where we should have been. Honestly, barring injury, we could have been
Five that's seed. A lot of games, though.
But we were at 46.
46. That's 5 games.
But think about those four bad ones you talked about. The Wizards, those ones like that. That gets us at 50. Right, we're right there.
Yeah.
So
I think they between those games that they should have lost. Now, I look at it like this. Like, people talk about they lost
the schedule,
4 games to the Wizards, to the
Pelicans, all those games.
Well, yeah, they lost all the games to the Pelicans, but they talk about losing to the Wizards, you lose to the Hornets, you lose to Detroit, and there's another team, Portland, right? Those 4 games. Hey, look at those games, I'm like, you should have won those games.
Mm-hmm.
I would say they probably, if I'm just being fair, they probably shouldn't have went 7-1 against Denver and the Lakers. They went 7-1.
So you flip it basically. If you take those wins out. And then you get
right.
You.
So if they would have won 2 of those games against
2 losses against the better
against
teams,
the bad teams.
Yep.
And then maybe they should have went 5-3.
Gotcha.
Against the Lakers and the Nuggets. That it balances out.
Okay. So we're still around
the
that
6 40. Losses to the Pelicans though was crazy. Now you could say they probably
at least
I'm
4
not
and
saying
two.
Like you know they were close or anything like that. But you would think, man, you ain't going to lose 6
At
games.
At least 4-2, right?
Yeah, maybe you win 2 of those games. That's the crazy part about it. So I think they're probably like a last year they probably should have been, and the Monk wasn't there as well. They probably should have been a 48-49 win team.
So still that 50-52 is very obtainable. 54, though, would be even better. But I didn't know 54 was that close to the 57 last year from the top of the West. So it's like, it's going to be interesting, though, dog. Like I said, man, just the flow, like how these win these games. Who's closing? Like, who's taking the final shots, though, is going to be crazy. Because DeMar, though, is a closer.
He's a closer.
That's the crazy part.
I mean, it's going to be whatever. I think De'Aaron Fox, his nature is he's going to play it by ear. If he looks at the situation.
If he's cooking, he's going
to. Well, that too. But if he looks at the situation, he's like, yo, we can get DeMar one-on-one 15 feet away. I'm going to let him cook. He does it with Malik Monk from time to time.
I did like this. I mean, again, it could be. I think Fox was just his reaction to having him there. Mm-hmm. It looked like it was energizing for him, knowing that we got something done, knowing that he got somebody else to go along with them. Because like you said, also, it does open up the floor for somebody's going to have a mismatch. There's not four elite defenders on the court at the guard position at the same time. Right. But, Fox, you know he really can't be guarded 1v1.
Right.
But then now I got a vet. Like, I got a real OG vet at this wing position who knows. And I'm like, that mix, though, is going to be interesting to see as far as the chemistry goes, because how they flow with it, though. Like I said, that's why I just can't wait to see, man. It's going to be interesting to see. But also late game, though, because I know a couple times late game, if Sabonis got a little fatigued or Fox got fatigued, who would you go to? Well, now you got other options.
Well, you also look at the situation as well, and you say, like, not you, just in general, people talk about the offense being a little congested with DeRozan out there. Didn't seem like it was a problem for Kobe White last year. Now, Kobe White is a little bit better of a shooter, dead-eye shooter off the bounce and from distance than De'Aaron Fox. But De'Aaron Fox is probably a better finisher in traffic and maybe a mid-range guy. He can get his mid-range shot off. So I think and part of the reason why I don't think it affected Kobe White the same way is not only because of DeMar's ability to finish late in games, but I think he's an underrated playmaker for others. He can distribute the rock a little bit better. So if he's attacking the basket and drawing defenders, he can kick it out to the shooters. And he's a little bit more better of a playmaker than people give him credit for.
Yeah, I definitely think so. But and also, like you said, Kobe White, great example, because his was a lot in transition, which I love to see Fox in transition. Mm-hmm. And if I got to slow down, okay, now I can chill. I can go to my ISO guy. Or if it's, you know, because I believe DeRozan and Sabonis could big wing pick and roll. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I'm saying, if it's guard-to-guard pick and roll to get the mismatch and he operate the high post, I think that's going to help Fox really too not get worn out late from, you know what I'm saying? So I definitely like to see Fox in open court and transition and in half-court set, pick your poison then, I guess, right? Like, okay, if you're going to double off me, I got corner shooters.
Yeah.
Okay, DeRozan, if not, it's a foul or a bucket, or you do have some bonus. You got to make sure he finishing down there. But I think it'll be dope to see. But just that comfort level when I saw the video of Fox kind of just like, hey, like a little bit of shine in his eye, man. Because everybody, you know, talking about what he's doing, I'm like, man, I'm glad they made a move, got it done. But also, even the reception that DeRozan got was dope, I think. Man, just showing love to just himself as an individual, as a good vet. But also, I think he knows what's at stake here, right? He's at this crucial point. He can take us to another level overall for the next couple of years, which we want.
I'm with that. Here's something that we kind of talked about, but I want to give a little more life to it. When you get DeMar DeRozan, it kind of knocks everyone down a peg, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Last year, I felt with Domantas Sabonis, you look at him to be your second best scorer and your second offensive guy, I feel like he's a little miscast in that situation. You know what I mean? I think that is a little bit of a problem when you're saying, yo, he's our second best scorer. Like, we need him to do, you know, numbers of 22 points. You know what I'm saying? A little miscast. Malik would have those nights where he'd step up and be the second scorer and all this other stuff. But now you look at that starting lineup potentially, and once again, I'm just going to argument saying Monk is in there. Keon might be
for
in
sure.
there. And there'd be nothing wrong with that. But argument saying Monk is out there. Or we'll even go finishing lineup.
Yeah.
Monk is out there. Now you're looking at a situation where Sabonis, as good as he is, third team All NBA. He's 20 points per game.
Third option.
He might be your fifth option.
But he might be
your fifth. And now, and I say that in a positive way. If you got Sabonis as your fifth offensive option, you kind of cooking.
But that's what the game play, the flow. He can give me a triple double. Give me 10, 10, 10. Mm. Them 10 dimes mean the ball is moving. It's for him. He's a great passer. So if we can capitalize on that with the spacing, with him being the facilitator even more in that open space, I'm like, hey, those results to more win because it's more opportunities for guys to be get the mismatches or get those backdoor cuts or get those off him. Hey, if his numbers got to drop overall, but we get more wins and we're still winning, and I'm not tripping. But I think that gives other guys a chance to eat as well, which I think is definitely dope, man. It's definitely a dope opportunity because he can pass that ball from everyone on the court.
Yeah.
And you got to take advantage of that.
Absolutely. I don't know if usually, like, when we have a guest, you know what I'm saying, we locked in with the guest, but you, like, you guest host right now. You ain't just a guest. You guest host, man. So I want to make sure, you know, anybody that's out there listening to the conversation and, you know, you want to get your two cents in, 916-909-1320, call in.
Yeah,
you know,
in.
We could talk, you know, talk with myself and Coach JT and we could talk about this whole thing. But, yeah, that's one of the things that I think is going to just help this team is, like, taking a little less pressure and onus off of Sabonis to have to score at a high level. And then you got another aspect to it. What do you think this does for Keegan Murray, good or bad?
Good, just more opportunities to get wide open looks. Like, I think he's still started coming to that role of comfortability is like being aggressive. But also now knowing that I can be aggressive, but also knowing that, hey, man, I have better another offensive threat out there with me. I'm going to get even more looks that I had before that I thought I was got to work hard to get.
Are you worried about his level of aggression now with another offensive guy imposing it? Maybe two if Monk is in that starting lineup?
But it should go up because they're going to be, it's going to be rotation issues from other teams. Now I got to drive the ball. Oh, it's a late closeout. I'm to the rack. He started, you know, he started ducking on a few people. We get to the rack. Now, you know what I mean? So I think it's just figuring out how to play alongside this much, I guess you could say, talent. This is the best offensive, well, five he can put on the court. He's had since he's been with the Kings. So now it's like, oh, what do I do? But also, I think, like I said, it's up to the coaching staff. Hey, we still need to be, like you said, all the time, I need aggressive. I think they went down to play somewhere. The Pelicans probably, I think they lost, but he was aggressive. He was like, I need those attempts. Even that, what do the attempts look like now for him?
But when Monk went out, I was asking for 18 shot attempts a game. Okay. He got that for the most part during that time that he was out. If Monk is there, maybe it's more like 15.
DeRozan
if too. DeRozan's there, it's probably more like 13. I need you getting 13 shots up a night. And I think that's doable for Keegan Murray. That's fair.
I think so, but
that's fair.
Is that a good 13 for him? Like that confident, like, yeah, okay. 13, I'm 5-6. What's we looking at?
Six for 13, seven for 13 is cooking. I'm with that for him.
Okay.
I mean, that's really cooking. I don't know what the I think that percentage is probably like really high. I'm not.
Yeah, it is probably high though.
On the top,
but you know, four of them gonna be threes anyway. So
yeah, if he's going off the top of my head, I mean that's got to be a little over 50% from the field.
Overall,
if he's going 7 for 13, every time
that won't happen.
I would love that. Last year, let me see. Let me have this here. Last year he took 12.7. shots a night.
Damn.
So do that again.
That's right. Yeah.
Do that again. I'm with that. And like I said, that's with the shots are going to, it's just they're kind of spread out a different way because Herter was taking his shots last year. Harrison Barnes was taking his shots last year. So
now that you say that though, it may actually balance, I guess maybe balance out or keep them because you're losing Harrison took shots, Herter took a couple. I know you're adding DeRozan, but I think it's still maybe the same number maybe available, which, I mean, for us is what you want. We want him around that 13 to 15 range, right? So
I look at last year. Harrison took 9 shots a night. Let me get Kevin Herter real quick.
So you put them 9 to DeRozan.
Herter was at 8.89 himself.
So, yeah.
So that's
between those two guys.
18 shots a night for DeRozan.
I think you can split. 18
shots. So, yeah, Keegan should get about the same.
Yeah.
Well, we're forgetting about the shooting guard spot, too.
To right.
With you. So, Monk will probably take his.
Those 9.
11 to 12. Yeah.
He getting them up.
But if he's not starting, you know, you got Keon then, out there. And it's not like Keegan didn't play with Monk a lot last year.
No, they did a lot.
He played with him. So
a lot.
I expect more of the same. Probably anywhere between 11 to 13 shot attempts for Keegan Murray on a night. Let's hit the phone lines, man. We got my guy, the Serial Connection.
Chi-Town
is in the house. Manny, what's up, big dog?
What up? Shout out to Coach JT. I'm looking forward to catching a couple of Trinity games this year, man.
But you ain't going to no McClatchy games? What's up with that? Hey, shout out to shout out to my man. Hey, we might be back up. Shout out Tony Vaughn taking over at McClatchy. Shout out Tony Vaughn. He didn't already reach out to me. We about to get this thing about together. It's about to be up in McClatchy,
oh,
boy.
Oh my God.
KC, you gonna get me courtside tickets there?
Well, you know, I gotta see. It's gonna be a hot ticket. We gonna see.
Hey, so y'all talking about DeMar is one thing. I call DeMar is he's a basketball chameleon player, right? Like, what I love about him and what I saw him do a lot in Chicago was he watches everything. He's very cerebral. He watches everything that's going on, and he finds the spots that he needs to be at. Mm-hmm. And with the Kings, that's so important because with everybody complaining about, oh, you know, all these offensive players and how does he fit in, you know, crowding spaces, he – watch how he played with Zach. Watch how he deferred to Zach in certain situations to let Zach get his buckets when he was on the court. Mm-hmm. And watch how he played with Kobe and IU and how he mentored them. And he is a big reason, in my opinion, why Kobe sat up over that 1 or 2 years where he became that dude, where he gave the confidence to IU and mentoring. And, like, this is the things that he brings to the Kings organization. It's not just about him dropping that 20 to 24 game. Watch how he, even defensively, when people talk about his defensive prowl, he might not be that one-on-one guy anymore, but watch those tapes of how he provides help defense and where he's at spots. Mm. These are the things that the Kings needed to get to the next level, and he brings all these intangibles.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man, big ups, man. Great breakdown. And Manny has seen
a servant.
Yeah, he didn't see more DeMar DeRozan than anybody in this city, being a Bulls fan as well. So it's a great breakdown from him, man. You can hop on the lines as well, 916-909-1320. Wrap with myself and my main man, Coach JT. But at the end of the day, do you think the floor of 52 wins that I have, you think that's too high? You think that's a little too optimistic? Remember, I'm saying that's – I feel like that's the worst they're going to be is 52 wins. You think that's a little too optimistic?
I mean, I don't think it's too, because I'm a fan to the death of it.
But you keep it a stack, though, and I don't.
I was even gonna say about even just that 50, as tight as the West is, and not realizing how close we were with 46, 48, like we weren't far off, but we added a high caliber dude. So I'm like 52 should be right there.
Yeah,
I mean, thinking about it like that makes a whole lot of sense. Like, you're adding a vet guy who's proven, who's a 2-way dude, but also, you know, he may be on the somewhat decline defensively now, but also he's been consistent his whole career.
Right.
If anything else, though, he has not been one of those guys that's like this.
Yeah.
DeMar has been
He's gotten better. He's gotten better in recent
years. Smooth, bro. Solid. And, you know, and like Manny said, though, for real, he helped those Young Bucks open up their game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
And like I said, I'm a Kings fan or whatever the case may be, but you guys already know I keep it a stack. I ain't gonna say it just because I'm a Kings fan. I'm going to tell you this is what I actually think. This is what I actually believe. And me saying the floor is 52 wins, it's not no fandom. It is what I look at this team. I look at what they're potentially capable of, and I say absolutely. That should be the floor for this team if they're all healthy, you know, with everything they had. I saw this team last season with a guy in Harrison Barnes that wasn't as good as DeMar DeRozan. I saw this team last year when at the shooting guard spot, whether it's Malik Monk or Keon Ellis, Kevin Herter wasn't as good as either one of those two. They're going to upgrade in the starting lineup on two starting spots. Like, people don't even really think about that either. And I don't even want to – I'm not trying to shade Kevin Herter because he might be here and be a part of this team and be a part of the rotation. I'm not giving up on that aspect at all. But when you talk about the starting lineup, they're going to upgrade in two starting lineup spots.
That should be worth four or five minimal games, right, bro? That's a drastic upgrade for us. I would think, just keep it 100. Like, that's a big upgrade on both spots. No doubt about it, bro. Like, that's why the pop was like that.
Yeah.
The upgrade is legit, knowing what we got to get to. So, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I mean, that's a big move. Yeah. Those big moves, bro, for us right there, for sure.
My main man, Coach JT, 94 Feet Podcast, man. We still got things to get to, man. We're going to shift away a little bit from the Kings when we come back, and we're going to talk a little Team USA.
Yep.
I got a couple of questions for you, man,
about
this Olympics,
yep,
about where this team potentially ranks in all-time USA Olympic teams.
That's buzzing.
And we got to talk about this Jaylen Brown situation, man. So we
I got something to say about that for sure.
All right. I want to hear it, man. We got a lot going on, man. It's D-Lo and KC. Coach JT rocking with me right now.
Yes,
sir. ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
Yeah.
D-Lo and KC, I was paused for just a second because I didn't see the end of this game, and I didn't know they actually gave the trophy to the Warriors. I guess that's the Mitch Richmond California Classic trophy. That caught me off guard.
Oh, my gosh. Everybody get a trophy?
I don't know who designed that. I mean, there was a different way to design. Yeah.
Oh, is that the little thing that went like a little swirl they were holding up or something?
I don't know what that is. Does everybody get one of those?
Like, oh, that in the red?
Yeah, that's the Mitch Richmond trophy for the California Classic.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm gonna blame that one on Joe Lacob. I'm sure Joe Lacob designed that one. That's what I'm gonna blame.
You get a trophy.
Yeah, man. D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. Man, I got my main man, Coach JT, in the building. 94 Feet Podcast. You can get at us on the phones 916-909-1320, or you can get in the Matthews Mattress chatty house. Big ups to Matthews Mattress. You can sleep in this summer with a new mattress from our good friends Kevin and Kristen at Matthews Mattress. Matthews Mattress customers are here to tell you the Matthews difference is an easy, low-pressure buying experience assisted by friendly, trained sleep professionals. Come in and lay down on the newest lines of mattress from Heirloom to Nectar to Dream Cloud. The Mattress family knows mattresses. They've even developed their own brand built so well, they come with up to a 25-year warranty. For all Matthews Mattress locations, go to MatthewsMattress.com and make sure you tell them D-Lo and KC sent you when you go in there. Tell them you're part of the chatty house. They're going to look out for you for sure, man. So we were talking earlier at the beginning of the show of
Hey, real quick, Miss Max in the chat said the show feels like somebody holding laundry, drying their laundry.
Like I said, my boy, I know for a fact my boy Uncle V didn't come up with that one. I'm blaming that on Joe Lacob, man. Joe Lacob, man, That's better, crazy, bro. I'm not gonna say it looks horrible. Is it a palm tree? Oh, so this is what's going on.
Oh, each team gets a flag, gets a thing on it.
Yeah. Okay. This makes a little more sense. So they have all these slots for teams to put the flag, and so every year a champion puts a slot with their little flag on it. I think it's kind of dumb, but it looks better than just the original aspect of it. Because what if this goes on for 20 years? They don't have 20 slots in there. This is bizarre.
Yeah, but
yeah, this I'm blaming Joe Lacob.
I'm popping.
Definitely a Joe Lacob idea. So Team USA played last night.
They did.
It wasn't really close. It started off a little tight with Canada, but for the most part, they were up by 10 points.
Well, they were down about
early. Yeah, but after the second quarter, when the young boys came in there and got some separation, they were up by 10 for pretty much from the middle of the second half on of that game. I talked about it earlier, man. I said, I think this Olympic basketball tournament, this may be the best tournament of all time, basketball-wise. This is going to be crazy. I expect USA to win the gold. They're the favorites. Mm-hmm. Is it crazy to think I wouldn't be like overly shocked if they didn't win gold, though? That's how much talent is around the world.
Nah, on the way up, I'm listening, right? Mm-hmm. And I believe if you're a basketball savant like we are, we're looking at all the other talented players and rosters put together. I would say the one thing is, and I don't know, this might not ever happen, but do we want to see all the other countries put their best together and then play the U.S.? I don't know.
Like, what you mean?
Like, if you had Shea, if you had Yoke, if you had all the
Oh, you mean
other
the
players,
world against USA?
What that would look
they
like.
They don't need to do that no more. The countries is already crazy. Canada can go.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you also saw last night, like, we still, when we put our best together, it's not close, right, as far as that part goes. You saw that. But if they would I be surprised? No, probably not. Mm. Would I be a letdown? Yeah, but I'm like, well, these other boys is working over here.
These teams can go. I mean, off the top of my head, you got Germany, you've got Greece with Giannis. Germany won the World Cup, the basketball World Cup. Now, granted, we've made some upgrades to the roster since then. I don't know if Germany's beaten beating USA today. But I mean, Dennis Schröder was a problem. He was doing his thing. But you got Germany. You got Serbia. Yeah. You've got I mentioned Greece. You've got Canada.
What do you think? Was it France?
France with Wimby. Yeah, you got
and Gobert. Like, what does that look like? Yeah. They're missing a guard though, because they got the inside play, but they're missing that guard play. Like, we have better guard, the guard play. Like
we
that.
Do. I mean, we're the favorites. I mean, Team USA is definitely the favorites. Yeah. But these other teams, and especially when you talk about a one game situation, you know, if it were in a series, I don't think any of these teams are beating them definitely in a seven game series.
No.
But once you get out of pool play and you get into tournament play, and it's a one game situation,
that's tough.
Who knows? Who knows what happens? So. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely interested to see how the Olympics play out. I think it's going to be phenomenal. I think
can't
it's
wait.
Be great.
I can't wait.
It is going
to
be great.
Does that mean we got to wake up early to watch it live, or have to go watch the replay? I'm
I don't
like,
know
dang
how
it.
Early we're going to have to wake up. My guess, because I would think 3 hours.
Talking about it earlier, it was like 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and like noon. They were saying,
yeah,
5 o'clock might be the earliest, but we're set. We're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
it's a.m. by the way.
Yeah. I think. We're 3 hours away from New York. I think Paris is another 3 hours. I think it's like a 6 to 7 hour time difference. So,
okay,
yeah, I think we'll be
early morning. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, I'm excited though. I just want to see what's
and one of
see.
Those one of those games, 5 a.m. We'll wake up as a family. We'll wake up as a family and watch that game
everybody
together at 5 a.m.
Up.
Absolutely,
we all in the same time frame.
Yes, indeed.
That's dope.
I don't want to waste any more time.
Yeah.
Because like I said, you texted me about this.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Man, we got to talk about.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard not removed. He stepped away from Team USA. Seemed like it was a joint effort between Team USA, the Clippers, and Kawhi for him to leave the team. They needed a replacement. They decided to go with Derek White. Derek White. I was going to say Derek Smith. Derek White instead of Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
Jaylen wasn't feeling that.
He
pointed directly at Nike.
Facts.
And felt like they had something to do with that.
Right.
The floor is yours. What you think about this situation?
So I'm not going to reference this person's name because we don't talk about him on this show. I already heard you, but he made a good point. Nike does that. They did it with Kyrie. Jaylen Brown, as we know, is a well-spoken, educated brother. He's made it clear on his stand about certain things. And there's no reason. I heard Grant Hill today gave the most somewhat educated reason why they didn't choose him. Your Eastern Conference Finals MVP, your championship MVP. He's a top 25 player in the league. And then I saw another announcer on another show say, hey, he's Kawhi 2.0 if you look at it, but healthy. Think about it. 3-level scorer, finish at the rim, great defender, everything. There's no reason why he should have left off the USA team. There's no reason why. Teammate or not, he should have been on the original roster, guaranteed. And that's the part that's frustrating, because he don't speak out enough on it, but you can tell he felt like he deserved that. And Grant Hill gave to me a crappy excuse.
I didn't see what
you
got to
listen to Grant Hill, because I don't want to misquote him, bro. Oh my gosh!
Do you remember just
about
how, like, what he was talking
about? It's about a team. It's about a fit. Somebody I like. I do like Jaylen Brown, but it's about the complete team. There's no way you Kawhi and Jaylen, you put them side by side, even visually, physically, look at them. They're the similar player. All you do is swap them out. That's easy, and he gave an excuse, but that was a political, I believe, and Jaylen had the right to put that tweet up or whatever. Still got to prove myself, but it's not basketball. I will say that. Keep the basketball first. He's one of the top players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Period.
I think it's clear as day. Jaylen Brown should be there. Derek White, really good ball player. I don't see how you decide to go with him.
They said,
over Jaylen Brown.
He brings shooting. He's a defender. The same thing he does in Boston. I said, hello. Same thing he does in Boston. JB can do for you.
No disrespect to Derek White, who actually had a hell of a season last year. Jaylen Brown is a better version of Derek White. A much better version of Derek. A bigger, more explosive version of Derek White.
Come on.
Yeah. That's crazy. But, you know, it's one of the things that happens with, you know, these I don't want to call them conglomerates, but, you know, my main man Damian has talked about a number of different times. You know, once you turn your back on Team USA, they don't select you anymore. And he would say that with De'Aaron Fox. So Team USA has done that. Nike it's probably the same way. Once you turn your back on them, you know, they're doing those things. There are some politics that go into the selection of these teams. Somebody had a tweet last night talking about, it was crazy, Kyrie Irving ain't on this team. You know what I mean?
Again, I won't reference the person I heard it from his podcast, but yes, that was a valid point.
Who are you talking about? I think you're talking about Gil, huh?
Yeah.
Gil.
Yeah.
Not the best week
but,
for
but Gil. Those 2 points about it being basketball and then Kyrie's like the off the court, those are valid. There's no way if you put Bron, AD, and them in the room, say, hey, man, what y'all feel about Kyrie? I believe they're going to stamp him. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry, they're going to – JB, they're going to stamp JB.
All the hoopers do.
That's
– All the hoopers do.
And even – but like I said, and I could see if JB didn't – he was already proven, I think, but his resume – shows that he, you bring a team over, I got to bring him with me. Mm-hmm. This is one of those guys. Because he got that dog in him. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you don't got to worry about playing overseas, in the gym, nowhere. He's going to be the same guy night in, night out. He's a team player. He's aggressive, but he sets the tone for what they're going to have to do overseas. Because they're going to get pushed physically and mentally for sure. Mm-hmm. And think about them vets. They are older, right? Mm-hmm. If they hit a wall, like I said last night, the young boys came in.
Young boys had to do it.
But he can lead that charge too. Think about it. You got JB Ant-Man on the wings. What are we talking about? JB and Ant-Man at your 2 and 3.
Don't forget my boy Tatum.
I ain't put him in the mix last night. I saw that big shoulder 3 or 4 times. Get out the way. Lay up.
My boy
like,
Tatum.
That was crazy.
Tatum was looking like, he started out this way. And I don't want to be blasphemous. But Tatum was out there looking like
it's me.
Olympic mellow.
It's me?
He's like Olympic mellow.
I don't know.
Is this Tatum's first USA appearance?
No, this is second.
Second.
But you know who cracking me up? But I love it, though. Ant-Man swagger and just ability. The smiling over it, looking over, pointing at everybody. Come but on. Also on the court, I'm going to the rim. I'm shooting my jumper. I'm looking at you like, bruh, feeling it. Like, but it's dope to see. But I like Tatum on the other aspect because it's quiet business. Yeah. He'll smile, give you a heck of buckets. Do what you got to do. I won't say nothing.
Yeah.
He don't say nothing.
Ant-Man, he had a couple of quotes in the last two USA sessions. I remember the last USA, the one in the World Cup when Ant-Man was there.
Yeah.
And he ended up being the best player on the team.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.